I'm Peggy Pirro, and this is Food From Here, where we talk with the people who grow and prepare and teach us about our food here in Southern Indiana. We're brought to you by Swirka & More, a local nonprofit serving seniors in our community, enhancing opportunities for independent living and a better quality of life with activities that include their intergenerational community garden partnership with Young and Established. In this first episode of our fall 2024 season, I talk with Chef Jeff Gott of Turntable and his partner DeAndre Wilson. Turntable is the local catering company that got its start serving crowds and winning awards at local festivals and events in the mid-2010s. After a few years' hiatus, the company found itself in a new home this past summer at Arcademy in downtown Evansville, where they offer their menu on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Jeff gives us a little history of Turntable, where the company name came from, and how the business has evolved since its launch nearly 10 years ago. We also get an update on the progress of their other big project, Bedford Collab, the shared kitchen space in Teepee Park that the two have been working toward for the past several years. Jeff got his culinary training at Johnson & Wales in Charlotte. His focus with Turntable is on the food, on the kitchen, on the menu, and the details of ingredients and plating. His partner DeAndre is the company's ambassador, serving the plates at Arcademy, making sure you're delighted, and that you tell your friends, all the while keeping the Bedford Collab train on the tracks. Jeff and DeAndre, welcome to Food From Here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you, in part to get an update on what's going on at Bedford Collab. But before we get to that, I'm wondering if we can start with the Turntable story. Jeff?
So 2015, a group of friends of ours, we all came up with the idea we wanted to do a food truck. And then I think further down that year, that same year, I had moved back home from North Carolina. And it whittled down to just me and DeAndre eventually just doing Turntable. And we went through a lot because we didn't know anything about starting a business or anything at all. And we found a mentor, Mark Seabury, and he helped us LLC and business plan, all of that.
Did you two know each other?
Oh, yeah. And DeAndre knew each other since we were 16. And I met him at his house one day. He used to dance back in the day, and I used to go to his house. And I met him that way.
Yeah, I've lived almost probably two or three different lives.
Yeah. So you started out thinking you were going to be a food truck with a turntable.
Yes.
And not knowing a whole lot about that, as you learned, when did you decide that the food truck was probably not something you were going to do right away?
Well, what we did was we went to go do a lot of research. So we traveled around mostly this side of the country on the Midwest and the South. And we noticed that, yeah, it's nice to be mobile with a food truck, but I think we figured that it'd be cheaper for us to start out catering. And eventually we were just like, we don't even want a food truck. We just want to cater.
Yeah.
And just do events and be at somebody's house if they need us to be there for private chef work or anything like that.
What kind of constraints were you seeing with regard to the food truck that made you make the decision you did?
Starting funds for one. Two, upkeep. Like, well, if we did get one, the upkeep for it had to cost us a lot. And really, it was just financial.
Yeah.
That was the main thing.
Yeah. I think at the time, if you're talking about 2015, you said?
Yeah, right.
At the time, I'm not sure we even had anything like a commissary kitchen available in the Evansville area, which you need if you're going to run a food truck, mm-hmm. because you need somewhere that you can do your sanitizing and at least some of your food prep oftentimes. And there wasn't anything here.
Yeah, with that, with the commissary kitchen, 2016, we really started getting into it with Turntable, like really starting to do business. Well, it wasn't business. It was just us experimenting and seeing how would people react to us and our product. So we did First Fridays, and we would just give our stuff away for free just to get everybody aware of us that whole year, 2016. And then the following year is whenever we got like a commissary kitchen. People wanted to actually purchase food from us and patronize us, and we got a lot of support and love. It was 2017 was a good year for a turntable.
Yeah. How did you come up with the name?
Our love for music, and really we just It was me and my two of our other friends that were originally in the business, and we were just throwing ideas around, and we came to Turntable because we love food and we love music. So
yeah, the pun.
Yeah, exactly.
When you were giving away food, what were you making?
I was making so many. Like, mostly it was appetizers. I think one of the more famous things was our sliders. It was a chicken slider I made, and it had like a roasted red pepper coulis on it. And we had stuffed mushrooms, stuffed peppers. And bruschetta was another one that was really popular from us. So, yeah.
So were you at First Fridays when you were giving your food away, or was it what more like situations with friends, parties and so forth?
It was like First Fridays, and then we'll get invited to do events and private things. So we actually got our feet wet a little bit our first year.
Yeah. And then you decided you would put a price on it, or
exactly.
you would start charging for it. Was that a difficult decision?
No, it was easy because we knew we wanted it to be a business. So we just wanted to do that research and development.
Product testing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have comment cards that people would rank 1 to 5 and leave their feedback. So it was just great research that we were able to do.
Yeah. Were you using any social media at that time?
Yes, we were heavy on Instagram for sure. Facebook as well. But Instagram was like our big one.
Mm-hmm. And how did people find you in the beginning?
In the beginning, it was just if you were out, you would see us, and then we would make you aware of our social media,
uh-huh.
and then people would share. And our social media grew pretty fast.
Yeah, and we did, like, we provided hors d'oeuvres to Granted's fundraiser event where we won an award for best hors d'oeuvres, and this was 2016, 2017.
Now, Granted is it's sort of like a Make-A-Wish, a local Make-A-Wish foundation.
Yeah, it's in that category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we won that. It was a competition. So that was cool. So that definitely helped to get our name out. Every First Friday we were there. So that helped. We also did, we did kind of various things just to help get our name out. But pretty soon catering just kind of took off once we moved into that commissary kitchen, because one of the elements is we were in my house, and that's a big no-no, but right. The entrepreneurial spirit is just get it done, especially when you have a dream and goals. And so we just did it. And then we moved into PG. And so every time we moved, the opportunities got better.
And then PG closed.
Yeah.
And that kitchen went away.
Yeah.
And then you were in limbo for a little while.
Right.
While you were figuring things out. What did you do during that time?
Try to find another kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we did a couple things out of my house at that point.
Mm-hmm.
One couple things, and then I remember the opportunity of the old Island Ice on South Green River Road, which was where the commissary kitchen was.
Which was Hoosier Burger.
Yeah, Hoosier Burger now.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's closed again.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in there, and it was 10 of us working out of there at the time, which was really cool.
That's not a big space.
It's not a big space.
But you were swapping out times, and you had a schedule, and you would have it for a certain time during the week.
There were a couple times where maybe 2 or 3 of us in there, mm-hmm. but that's because we were getting ready to leave or setting up for
mm-hmm.
something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jeff, you grew up here in Evansville.
Yes.
And you spent some time in North Carolina and then came back.
So I grew up here in Evansville. I left for college. I went to college up in Providence, Rhode Island. Went to Johnson & Wales University, and they have a campus down in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, the culinary school, right?
Yeah, hospitality culinary.
Right.
And I transferred to the North Carolina campus in Charlotte, and I went there, and I came back from there to here.
When you were growing up, what were the meals like in your home?
Mostly home cooked. My mom cooked a lot for me and my two sisters. She always made like this steak and gravy with rice. And broccoli, that was a good one. But she wasn't really the one who inspired me to cook. It was more once I got to middle school. In my 6th grade year, I had my first home ec class. My teacher, Ms. McDaniels, she told us to go watch Food Network. And I started watching Food Network, and that's when I was like, okay, I think I want to start doing something with food. And that's what sparked my interest.
Yeah.
I've always been a creative type. I used to love to draw, and then something more in the arts was cooking, so I wanted to do that. And seeing all the savory side of things, I wasn't interested in the pastry. I liked eating it, but I didn't want to make it too much.
So you had a home ec class and a teacher who was inspiring to you, and then you started watching the Food Network. Did you have a favorite chef on the Food Network?
Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
I liked watching Bobby Flay. Emeril Lagasse, Rachel Ray. Just whatever I've seen, Alton Brown, whatever I watched.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about how Turntable and Arcademy got together.
Well, that all started just talking to different friends about, you know, what's happening in the small business realm and what the needs are and what's going on. And I remember talking to Adam, who owns Your Brother's Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a good conversation one day at his shop because we were planning an informational session. He informed me that La Capriana was moving out of our academy. And I was like, well, I will do my best to try to find someone for Carl. Don't know if I'll be able to do it, but, you know, like a good challenge. So I was able to meet with Carl, and Carl explained to me the process and how he's willing to support and how he'll go the extra mile. And so I shared it with Jeff, and we got started immediately, built a menu, got it costed out fast, and we started doing Thursdays and Fridays just to get our feet wet again. Jeff and I like to really, you know, don't jump off into the deep end too fast, just kind of learn, figure things out, because learning is a major part of the process. You have to be able to do that. And so once we were comfortable, understood the mission, then we said, all right, let's pick up the Saturdays. So now we're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. And now we're starting to pick up catering events. But in the context of it has to happen at our academy, we're not doing that traditional where we'll cater something, drop it off to you. Because boundaries are important. And we can do a lot of things, but we could do a few things really great or a bunch of things and be okay. So boundaries are important. And so we're seeing catering starting to pick up. It's working out for us. Some early stage capital that's going to help us be able to carry forward. We've even been approached by a potential angel investor because he's had our food so many times. He wants to see us go forth and prosper. So a lot of good has come out of being at our academy. Money's good. And then just the opportunities that follow, I think, are a little bit better. I like opportunities because they open up more doors. So I think it's been a win-win overall. It's good. Yeah, one thing about us, we don't want a restaurant.
Okay. And say more.
Yeah, if we were to pick up more days, it would kind of start to feel like that. These 3 days a week is just the right amount that we need to service the public, service our guests, make income, but yet still be true to what we want, which is catering. So this is a good amount.
In the beginning, he and I had established, well, not in the beginning, but we learned as through our journey that we should set boundaries, and it's good to say no sometimes. And we know not to over encumber ourselves with work and just stress ourselves out for no reason. So this job that I work now, my current job, my day job, it definitely takes a toll, especially like later on down in the week, because it's 3 days in a row. I'm working both jobs. So I'm exhausted, but
yeah,
I'm getting it done.
I'd love to know a little more about the Arcademy Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
How big is it?
It's not very big. It's probably about 400 square feet, maybe.
Yeah, roughly four. That's a good number.
What kind of equipment is in there?
There's a four burner stove. There's a flat top grill, there's a fryer, and there's a pizza oven.
And two guys working?
Well, there's usually three or four of us.
Oh, okay.
DeAndre's usually out serving the food, and then there's either two or three of us back in the kitchen.
Yeah, okay. And what is your role in the kitchen, Jeff?
Everything, pretty much. I'm cultivating creativity with my friends. My friends are usually always helping us. And then just, you know, standards and cooking all the food and just adjusting to anything that comes at us. I do the shopping. I man the grill, the fryer. That's mainly what we use as a grill and fryer. And I usually have my other friend, Jared. He's always there helping us. He's our backbone for sure. He's usually at the expo window, plating, putting food out, make sure the plates look good.
And your job, DeAndre, is to get those plates to the table?
Get them to the table, as well as ask our guests for customer reviews on our Facebook page, as well as try to get our followers up on social media, and then ultimately hunt down opportunities. There are a lot of incredible people that come through our academy, and just trying to figure out, you know, how else can we expand without, again, breaking those boundaries, but just getting that feedback overall. One of the things that's not discussed a lot of times in small business is you need someone that can help find opportunities and deals or enjoy the hustle and the bustle. Mm-hmm. So like when Jeff talked about how he has a full-time job, I'm doing probably four different things or maybe more in a day just because I'm trying to find opportunities, gaps, identify potential deal opportunities. So much there. So I'm on the floor at our academy. I'm practically doing the same thing.
With the catering, these are strictly events at this point that are taking place in our academy?
That's correct.
Yeah. That would make sense because getting places with your food can be fraught.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And I know that, you know, sometimes with me being and doing seven different things at once in a day, gathering all this information and then sharing it with Merrick and Jeff, I know I can be exhausting on top of them already being exhausting. Because again, just being out there and identifying so much, like right now, everyone's talking about food is medicine or food as medicine. I mean, that's just so much information there. So I'm glad we found our boundaries, because even going back to 2016, 2017, I mean, we were doing almost every festival, Parks Fest, Jazz and Wine Festival. I mean, we were pretty extended then.
Yeah.
So we learned.
But that's often a good way to start, is to just get a little of everything. You know, some things you just don't enjoy that much, and you think you might, and you go try it, and you go, I don't think I want to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we learned when we were in our early, was that mid to late 20s?
It was definitely our early to mid-20s.
Early to mid-20s, gotcha.
So what are you learning about serving a bar crowd? Is it different from other crowds?
No,
people are people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people are people.
I've been in the food industry my whole life, so the main focus is not so much the people. It's making sure we're being consistent and making sure everything just tastes exactly how it tasted the first time they tried it.
But then from a business standpoint, how do you take those individuals who are paying $11 for our food to then take our food to work with them and then have us cater? So how do we transition them from a customer at a bar to catering their work event or their family gathering, et cetera? So that's another good reason why I'm on the floor.
Ambassador.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We have our roles. We definitely established that in the beginning.
I noticed on, I guess it was our academy's Facebook page, a puff pastry, looked like a puff pastry dessert that you had created. Can you tell us what it is and how you came up with it?
It's puff pastry, and it's a blueberry lemon filling, and the icing is a blueberry lemon icing. And I just came up with it because it was simple and it's not too difficult to make. The most laborious thing is making the filling, but that's not hard either. So it just came up with something simple and quick that we didn't have to like cook to order or anything like that. We just had to heat it up and put the icing on it and send it out.
Did you have any dessert items prior to that?
No, but I knew you got to have something sweet on your menu because you don't want people leaving and saying, oh man, I wish I had dessert.
Yeah. And that's a good one because it's small, it's light,
mm-hmm.
or at least it has the appearance of being light, so that even if you've had a filling dinner, it doesn't seem like too much to add one of those. Yeah, and they're very lovely to look at too. Are you able to source any of your menu items locally?
I think once we get Bedford Collab opened up, it'll be more accessible for us. Because right now I can't move around too much because I would go and pick up whatever I needed from farms. Like I have a connection with Moonlight Hollow, and there I went to their farm a few weeks back, and me and my daughters did, and it was a nice farm. And
it is a nice farm.
They have a very nice size vegetable garden.
Yes, and herbs.
I would definitely love to glean from that. So I think once Bedford Collab opens, when we build more, we'll have farmers there with us, and I'll be able to source more, and we'll have our hydroponic wall, and I'll be sourcing from that as well. So I'll be spending way less on produce once Bedford Collab opens.
Yeah, and there's already six community gardens around Bedford Collab's location. So again, to Jeff's point, once it's more accessible, we've got space and time. We can go on walks even, or we can get in our cars and just go two blocks up the street or four blocks up the street. We'll be able to source locally.
And it turns out the business, my day job is the same job that delivers to my job for food. So.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
The community gardens you just mentioned, DeAndre, can you speak more about those?
Oh, gosh, I can. There's several of them. You've got Memorial CDC's garden down there on Walnut. You've got Young and Established's garden, Granddaddy's garden over on Governor. I believe it's Governor, one of those streets back there. You've got Praise Harvest. Both their gardens are just around the corner from us. You have the TP Park garden as well. And then you have one of my former teachers. She lives on Independent Street. She now has a garden as well. So Glenwood Leadership Academy also has a garden. Of course, our hydroponic system. So just right there, you have so many gardens that we can have those individuals come to Bedford Collab, trade, sell, source to the local startups as well. I mean, it's just a win-win for all. So looking forward to actually creating this, I guess, neighborhood local garden ecosystem. We will have a produce container at Bedford Collab. So even if they don't sell it with some of the funding we have separate, we can then buy what's left over and store it. We can even go to farmers markets and just buy what's left over and store it at Bedford Collab. So there's so many elements and levels to what we'll be able to do for the local farmer and the microeconomy.
Yeah, that's all very exciting.
Yes.
Actually,
yeah. Yes. We, Merrick and I, are working day in and day out to make sure that the funding is available and all these different opportunities and ideas and concepts. And I'm having a good time attending a lot of these meetings.
Yeah.
And then to listen to all the concepts. So I'd probably say there's about 1,000 concepts on the table. I know once we get open, it'll probably be about 500 to 250 concepts that not only Turntable can benefit from, Bedford Collab as a whole, and then begin to put those other startups in place. Like I mentioned before, this food is medicine or food as medicine initiative, that's huge right now. And so we just need to get Bedford Collab open so we can support startups, support farmers, support these initiatives. So much to come.
Yeah. Before we turn to talking a little bit more about the collab, I wonder if we could just wrap up the Turntable situation at Arcademy. What else is on the menu? I know you do the sliders, and we talked about the little puff pastry desserts. What else are you serving there?
So we have a Thai chicken slider. It's chicken thighs, tempura battered and fried, nice and crispy. Then there's a papaya salad, which is a Thai dish, and it has papaya, green papaya, carrots, some fish sauce, lime, garlic, Thai chilies. So it's kind of spicy. And I have a Thai basil aioli that I put on there. And that's just Thai basil and QP mayonnaise.
And what kind of mayonnaise?
QP is a Japanese mayonnaise.
Okay, what's in that? What makes it?
The eggs. The egg content is a little bit more profound, and it's good. It's a good mayo.
Rich.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then our burgers, our classic slider burgers.
Is it a ground beef burger?
Yeah, it's a Creekstone Farms, and it's just a classic miniature version of a smash burger with just American cheese, and then I have a sauce that I make to put on there. And then our second popular is our potato balls, and that's just mashed potatoes, really, that are just fried into croquettes.
Yeah.
Balls,
sure.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have the turnt wrap, which is an amalgamation of a lot of ingredients that make something beautiful. We have a braised beef, and we have a tostada shell, sour cream, tomatoes, lettuce, avocado, cilantro, pickled onions, all wrapped up in a tortilla, flour tortilla, and toasted up.
You have a crispy shell inside a flour tortilla?
Yes, ma'am. It's just like the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Okay,
Taco
sure,
Bell.
Sure. Well, that all sounds very good as we're coming up on lunchtime here. Let's segue then into an update on the Bedford Collab. DeAndre, let's remind people what it is and who it's for.
Absolutely. So Bedford Collab is a shared use commercial kitchen. Some maybe describe it as a shared kitchen or a commissary kitchen. All those terms are interchangeable. You can use them. But the purpose of this space is to provide a fully equipped kitchen to foodpreneurs, a term we've coined, food entrepreneurs, if you can't say it, food startups, farmers, growers, producers, bakers, artisans, you name it. If you are in food production, you better be in this kitchen. And so that's what it's designed for. And the update, I'm going to go pressure wash the building today. The floor is going in. The ceiling has been going in. Electrical will start in 3 weeks, and we should be wrapping it up here soon. Pretty excited about it.
Now, when we talked 6 months ago, obviously there was you've accomplished a lot since then. Has there been any adjustment in your goals or your overall mission as you've learned more and done more, gone farther with the collab?
The mission and objectives are still the same. With every commercial development, you will always have obstacles. Things like that will come up. We've got items on back order that we need ASAP. Pressure washing has probably gone a little longer than it needs to be. So that's why I've stepped in to do it. But, I mean, it's fine. We're learning a lot. I kind of want to get into commercial development in the near future. But every project comes with its hurdles. And like I said, we're moving nice and steady.
Can you give us a sense of where in the process you are? What remains to be done?
Electrical is big. Mm-hmm. That's the last of it. I mean, everything else is pretty much done. Like I said, the floor will be done here soon. The ceiling is up. We just have to put in a couple more of the grids in the ceiling so that, you know, airflow happens. But we're in a really good place. So really the next thing will happen, which is major, is electrical.
Mm-hmm. And when do you suppose, I'm sure you hate this question, but when do you suppose it'll be ready for food entrepreneurs to start using it?
That's a good question. For a listener, I will say sometime in 2024. We're working hard. Every day something is getting finished that wasn't done before. So fingers crossed. You never know. Could be September, could be October, but we know it'll be this year.
Well, I know that a lot of people are aware and are talking about it and are eager for to learn more and to hear of your progress. Do you have any more informational meetings?
So we're in the midst of planning, too. We're having a lawyer come from IU, Professor Need. He is the program chair of the IU Entrepreneurship Law Clinic program. We couldn't find any lawyers here locally that want to support startups. So he's going to make the hour drive to support startups and getting everything that they need lined up so they can get started. He's even going to have some students create a foodpreneur booklet that will live on Befford Collab's website. So if you want to start a food business, go to BeffordCollab.com and you'll download that booklet. That'll be online soon because they're going to brand it with IU and Befford Collab, make it look real cool. So that's to come. He's going to bring some students down here just to understand about the food industry and see the building. So that's going to be really cool. The next informational session that we're going to host is just getting all the foodpreneurs back in the room to say, okay, are you serious? Who's ready? And then go down the requirement list and get them in. So those are the two that we are slowly but surely planning.
Can you give us a brief list of those requirements for food entrepreneurs to use the kitchen?
So the first, you have to be ServSafe certified. You have to have proof of insurance. You have to have some business designation, whether you're an LLC or a nonprofit or S Corp, C Corp, B Corp. You cannot be a sole proprietor. You have to have a business plan, and you have to have a menu of some sort. It has to be finalized, but it has to be a menu of some sort. And those are all the requirements that come to my mind at the moment. There are a few more, but those are the ones that come to mind.
Do you have resources for people if they're just starting out to help them get these things together?
Well, first of all, we're the resource.
Okay.
So our emails and phone numbers are on Befford Collab's website, so they can reach out. But we will put them in touch with individuals from like Small Business Development Center, the library, the health department, et cetera. One of the hiccups in Turntable's early startup journey was before we met Mark Seabry, as Jeff pointed out, is I would get the runaround of like who to help, who can help, who's supposed to help. But then when I would go talk to these individuals, no one had a clear-cut answer. And so that's why we had to go to Mark Seabry. And so I don't want those startups to go through what we went through. I'm going to give you the name, give you the email. I'll go with you if need be, but here's who you should talk to get started.
You are not the only person who has commented on that rather labyrinthine process and that has a lot of dead ends. And there's no clearinghouse of information. And so for Bedford to step in and help provide that. Jeff, what's your role going to be at Bedford?
So I'll be the kitchen manager. So I'll be the one overseeing the whole entire kitchen, but really just, you know, making sure everybody's being sanitary and cleaning up after themselves and like a manager of a restaurant almost, except we're not a restaurant.
But you're the go-to person too. If people have questions about how to operate within the kitchen's space.
And I'll be there to help. Like if they need help prepping and I'm available, I will help. If they need help with knife cutting, whatever it is, I'm there.
Well, I'm looking forward to all of this.
All of it.
DeAndre and Jeff, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today here at Food From Here.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you for having us.
Food From Here is sponsored by Swerka and More, the local nonprofit that serves the needs of seniors in southwestern Indiana. They enhance opportunities for independent living and a better quality of life for seniors with activities like their intergenerational community garden partnership with Young and Established. You can learn more at swerka.org. And that's our show for today. In our next episode, we'll meet the owners of a Posey County farm who bring a love of the chili pepper to southern Indiana. Join me again in 2 weeks for a conversation with Nate and Emily Julian of Earthrise Farm. And remember, you can suggest a guest or a topic or ask a question by sending an email to foodfromhere@wnin.org. Food From Here is produced by Tri-State Media in downtown Evansville, Indiana, home of WNIN-FM and WNIN-PBS. Thanks to Swerka and More for their sponsorship and to you for your support of public media. I'm Peggy Pirro. Thanks for listening.